All right. Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night, where we have our Learning Center or Monday Night Raw. Get to wrap up the week with Surviving Slander. And I'm telling you, like every other call that we've been on about Surviving Slander has been awesome. And I know that tonight is going to be awesome as well. So thank you for joining us. And let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir.
How are you, Miss Candy?
I am just wonderful, sir, and you?
I'm doing wonderful. I do hope everyone is bundled up out there. Take your, emergency and all that vitamin C stuff. Make sure you get that in. Okay. But with that being said, I do welcome everybody to the call. And I do want to say this before we get started. I appreciate all the emails that we do get pertaining to Monday night's call and questions that we do get. It's been very welcoming to receive those, although we can't get to all of them. We do get to those, as many as we can, if you will. So please keep on sending those emails. You can send them to myself on Facebook. You can send them to Miss Candy on Facebook, and we'll get to them as soon as we can. You can even text us, okay? And we'll get to them, and we'll try to implement those in our Monday night raw call. Okay, the Learning Center. So with that being said, y'all, let us go ahead and pray. Miss Candy, open us up with prayer, and we're going to get started on the call.
Right. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be here with you tonight, Lord, just to gather in your name. Lord, we pray that the word that you prepared tonight is food for each and every one of us, that we have listening ears and open hearts in order to receive it, Lord, in the spirit of love. And, Lord, we pray over each and every speaker, Lord, that you will give them exactly the words to say over your people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All righty. So, Ms. Candy, you ready for the call tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is it that you've taken away from this past week?
Well, I was really thinking about how we could kind of sum it up, and I went back to Wednesday night, and one of the main things for the week was to survive slander, we have to maintain our character and not change based on what the outward thing is. So regardless of what is brought our way, we have to maintain our character in God, and that is the character that looks like God, not the character when we say, I want to go back to myself. No, we have to go back to God and remember that not only was Jesus slandered, but if we're to be like him, we have to remember to have the same characteristics he exhibited when it happened to him. So maintaining our character is one of the key things with surviving slander.
That's very important, y'all, because we all have experienced the venom of, horrendous, treacherous, words that tear and rip the soul, some of which can be true in the natural, but so far from true in the spiritual.
Yes, sir.
So far from true. And these are things that we have to learn how we survive them because, people say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words would never hurt me. Is that true? And I'm showing you the double-mindedness to that statement. We uttered those words when we were yet little children. But as we get older, Miss Candy, we want the judge to tear them down with something called mental anguish. I thought that we said words don't hurt us. But we argue the point that mental abuse is real. Is that not correct? Is that not correct, Ms. Candy?
Correct, sir.
Okay. Catch up. So these things are real, y'all. Words can be very torturous, if you will, especially you build your whole life trying to build up a good rapport, good reputation, good resume, and then slander crosses your path, sometimes for no reason at all. Now, how you respond to it is going to be key to how you follow and pursue God, how your effectiveness with others will be, and even with the individual or individuals who have slandered you. It's very, 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 very important.
Yes, sir.
Very important. Because if you open your Bibles and read in the passages that God has delivered to us, you see that Satan was the number one slanderer of Christ, God, Master, Messiah, our teacher, our healer, our prophet. He was the number one slanderer of Christ. But even in his slandering, how is it that he had a conversation with God? Well, God asked him, where have you been?
Yes, sir.
Now, typically when people slander us, we don't want to have nothing to do with them whatsoever.
Right.
But see, everything that God sets in motion, everything that God sets in motion, you know, in order for you to, you know, we know this, right? In order for us to enjoy the sunny days, we must have rainy days.
True.
But doesn't rain also water and bring about growth?
Mm-hmm.
Nourishes the earth?
Yes, sir.
So they go hand in hand. Without adversity, who can you tell is a good friend? You need a little adversity to wing things out, even with yourself.
Amen.
Adversity don't have to be in dislikes or, you know, misfortunes. Adversity can be in words that are not true.
Yes.
That are set forth to harm you. If it wasn't in God's plan, slander would never exist. So it has to be a part of God's plan. Because sometimes we don't get to know God unless something else, you know, pushes us to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we don't get on our knees until somebody talk about us, and we can't correct all the people they have affected or infected with lies.
Mm.
What we do, we fall back on who can, and that's God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So with that being said, y'all, it's time to get to the email questions. And y'all know we always, always, always have Mr. DJ with us on the call. Mr. DJ, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How you been?
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Staying warm. Ready for this turkey.
All right now. All right now. Who Atlanta about to play? Who they playing on Turkey Day? Don't they play on Turkey Day?
We play Sunday. We play the Cardinals. But I'm talking about that turkey on Thursday. You know, the little gravy dressing. Get it in.
Somebody getting hungry. You know, they preparing already. But Mr. DJ, I got somebody who over there baking. And she said she wanted to put Mr. DJ in the oven tonight.
Uh-oh.
I'm just relaying a little message. Okay? And she going to be sitting in the hot seat. Miss Brandy, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, so you baking and you ready to get this on with Mr. DJ?
Yes, I am.
All right.
You're here over there messing with that oven. Well, Miss Brandy, Mr. DJ, we're about to get it started. All right, y'all, look, we're getting ready for the first email question. And as always, Mr. DJ, I'm going to give the guests the honors of answering first, all right?
Okay.
Miss Brandy, here's your first question, okay? And the first email question, simply put, says, is slander ever deserved?
Is slander ever deserved? I would say no.
Uh-huh.
I would say no because slander is lying. It's saying something false about someone else. So no one deserves that. Even though it happens, no one deserves to be talked about or told lies on about. So I would say no, it's never deserved.
Okay. Good deal, good deal. Mr. DJ, what you got to say about that question?
Totally agree. There's no way around slander is slander. It's wrong. So no, it's totally wrong. It ain't nothing but lying. You know, sure, it's just a longer word for lying. That's all it is. So no.
It's a longer word for lying, Miss Candy. Miss Candy, you want to chime in on that one?
Well, I would have to agree as well. When we're in our feelings, we might think that someone deserves something, but it's never warranted to spread gossip and lies about people.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask y'all this, okay, because those are very, you know, answers are straightforward. So think about this for a second. Slander not being ever deserved, is it possible, you know how people talk about karma? Is it possible that we live a life of slander towards God? We just don't call him a lie? But when we take on a characteristic and we say that we are one thing, the slander and hypocrisy line up, is what I'm saying.
Well, even with karma, I mean, God is not a revengeful God.
Right.
So if he tells us not to lie, that simply means not to lie, and he doesn't lie.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the truth just hurts, you know, so I still don't think that it's allowed, you know, in any shape or form.
What you got to say, Ms. Brand? I'm sorry, Mr. DJ, go ahead. What you
have? I'm just saying, even if someone lies on you, the answer is not to lie back on them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, that's not the answer. That's not the godly way of doing that. So
uh-huh.
I still say no.
Okay. Ms. Brand?
I still agree. I still agree that it's just something that we should not do, and it shouldn't be something that we want to do or want done to someone else.
Okay. Ms. Candy, I know it's one of those things where slander, hypocrisy, hypocrisy, slander, they, you know, they kissing cousins.
True.
They write the same. The thing about it is, you know, and these are thought-provoking questions, email questions, and these are good for us to understand, y'all. Well, slander is so real because telling a lie and living a lie, same thing. How many times has somebody lied on God to get you somewhere that they wanted you and God didn't say that?
Hmm. Amen.
That ever happened to you, Mr. DJ?
Yeah, and God doesn't even condone lying for him. He doesn't need your lie. He doesn't have to, you don't have to get up in church and, you know, run laps and do the holy dance and say, oh, I got him. He's all in me. You know, follow me. Look at me. You know, some people will, instead of being a testimony, they're a testophony. You know, there's no, he doesn't condone it, no matter how it goes. You know, whether it's, some people may say, well, I'm lying for the good. No. You know, or God excuse me because he's getting this out of it or that out of it. No. Either way it goes, he does not condone it.
That's correct. So y'all got it. Slander is never deserved. Because a lot of times we'll try and dress slander, Miss Brandy, up in a good lie to say that somebody is about to benefit from it, but it's still slander. Because many times we will put something or someone down to drive home our own selfish ambition and goal.
That's right.
Y'all got it?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. And the only individual who does that is Satan himself. He always tries to put us down to build some kind of rapport, if you will, in the grace or eyesight of God. Always. So I tell people all the time, Mr. DJ, I'm very leery of the person who always talks about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because talking about someone else, gossiping, accusations, slander. My grandmother used to tell me a long time ago, and I'm saying what my grandmama used to say. I'm going to show y'all the truth in it, a lot of this. If you're talking over the phone over 5 minutes, baby, y'all lie. You know, when people be on the phone flirting, you remember how it was back in the day, over 5-10 minutes, you start to lie. Because people don't even, now you're just saying what people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Most of all your accusations are lies. Somehow, some way, I'm going to tell Miss Candy Mr. Candy. You saw what DJ had on? All that red. Now, he only had on a red bow tie, but I'm saying all that red to embellish and drive my point home.
Right.
And, y'all, that's what we do.
Right.
That is slander. Because we're starting to put Mr. DJ down so that Candy can see things my way. As if I am a fountain of information for her. She can trust me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. All right. You ready for the next question, Mr. DJ, Ms. Brandy?
Let's do it.
All right. Question number two email. Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you. It says, I was once the slanderer, and the other person ended up finding out. How do I go about approaching that individual and making amends when the entire family and also friends have been encouraging her to avoid me at all costs?
Well, and this is just coming from my perspective, whether they found out or not, something on the inside of you should tell you, hey, you need to make amends to this. You need to make it right. Me personally, I would just tell them the truth. And tell them, I don't know why I was tripping, but that was a lie. That was a complete lie. I was wrong for that. Please forgive me. Sometimes when you come straight, and if God is in it and you're sincere, you'll be surprised at the results. You can't expect for someone to just go out and trust you immediately, but they can't forgive you. And you definitely will gain respect by telling the truth. Don't let them come to you. You go to them. If you were the slanderer, you go to them. You know what? That was, man, you know what? I ain't even seen that movie. I'm sorry. I was tripping. I thought it was something else, or, you know, I thought I could relate to such and such, but no, that's not the one, man. I'm sorry. You know, just I'm sorry goes a long way. You know, and you just, like I said, just come clean. Just tell them the truth and come clean.
All right. Okay. It's Brandy. You need me to repeat it?
Oh, no.
Okay, what you got?
I agree with Mr. DJ. I believe you need to go to that person, you know, tell them what was said, apologize for what was said, and, you know, try to make amends with that person, because if it's me, if I'm in the wrong, I need to fix it. So I need to be the one to go to that person and explain. Not really explain, but just say, hey, I was wrong. And then, you know, go to that person in love. Just like it says, you know, if there's a conflict, go to that person. You don't have to go to other people. Go to the direct person.
Good deal. That's some good information. Good information. All right. All right. Here we go, y'all. Email question number three. I'm going to start with Ms. Brandy. It says, if someone has slandered my name and yet some of the accusations are indeed true, should I address them in kindness or just ignore that they have put my business out there?
I would address that individual, because still, if some of the slander is true, it's not for that person to tell. That's gossip. So I would go to that person and say, okay, what's going on? You know, I heard this was said, you know. And if it was a conversation you had with that person, between you and that person, or I don't know all the details, but, you know, talk through it, acknowledge, you know, this may be true about me, but it wasn't for the whole world to know or for other people to know. And then the other part of it, just address it and try to get a peaceful ending to it.
Has slandered my name, and yet some of the accusations are indeed true. Should I address them in kindness or just ignore that they have put my business out there?
I would say something completely different. I would address them, but I'm a business marketing guy. I would use it to my advantage. I would find some kind of way to find the good in it, and to actually expose the untrue part of it, and to fix it and make it right.
Okay.
That's what I would do. I would you know, if you went around telling everybody that I'm a bad guy, that I'm just this bad guy and don't care about nobody or what have you, then I would utilize that. You know, I would take advantage of it if everybody feels this way towards me to do something kind and let everybody know, actually, I'm not a bad guy. You know, let me try such and such, such and such. Or however, I still feel like, you know, cussing your mama out is wrong. You don't do that. I still feel like spanking is law. You need to spank your child. You know, I'm just using that as an example. If someone, you know, the parts that are true, I would expose and take control of that situation so that it doesn't turn into a rumor at the end right there. Anything you want to ask me else about me being a bad guy, I'm right here. You know, and then, you know, fix the other part. So it sort of flips the script, you know, and then it'll make that person's credibility think twice before they go spread something else about me that they don't know.
Okay, good deal. Now, these are some great answers, y'all, and this is really good. Mr. DJ, I'm going to poke at you a little bit. Now, help everybody out with this one. Okay, now this is off the dome. This has nothing to do with email questions. When we talk about slander, and listen in, Ms. Brenda, we're talking about slander. My question to you is, we talked about it with an email question earlier when we asked, is slander ever deserved? But what about those people who have been scorned, hurt, now they're bitter, and rightfully so to some degree in their eyes? You know that's about to bring on the whole birth of slander, right?
Exactly.
So now help me out with that. So if I'm asking you, Mr. DJ, why is it that this individual was talking bad about me, although our relationship didn't work, what kind of advice are you going to give me?
That person is bitter and has something that they haven't faced either with themselves or with you for closure. That is still no reason to slander them or to speak revenge. A wise man used to always tell me, don't go away mad, just go away. Because when you go away mad, you're going to mess up a whole lot of other things with God and with yourself. So when it comes to the slander part of it or being bitter, you can be bitter, but you don't have to break God's rules. You know, you don't have to go around and liken it. You know, it says to turn the other cheek, but it doesn't say smile while you turn the other cheek. So what I'm saying is, you know, it's okay to be bitter, but you don't break God's rules. You don't go back and lie on that person, or you can't say this person deserves this, because vengeance is not yours. If they deserve it, oh, trust, God got a plan for them, and they will get it, far worse than what you can ever dream of.
Okay. Ms. Brenda, I know you're baking, so I'm going to let your helper come in right quick. Ms. Candy.
Yes, sir.
Is it possible for us to be bitter and still in God?
No, I would say it's not impossible for us to stay bitter. And here's the thing, bitter is a feeling, it's an emotion. When we settle into it, hold on to it, I think that we have gotten to the point to where we've turned our back on God. If you have a feeling about something, it doesn't mean that the feeling won't come to you. But even with that, I would have to say, let's think about this. We don't go from happy to bitter. There are stages of it. So as you get further and further into it, you're getting further and further away from God. So you got to think about that in a global sense. We might say, well, I became bitter. It just came over me. Well, that's not true. There was a stage involved where you allowed something to settle with you. You didn't give it to God. You allowed it to fester. You didn't give it to God. So I would say flat out no. I'm going to change it from a depends to a flat out no, because we don't just snap our fingers and become bitter. We allow ourselves to fester and get into a state where we're not giving to God what we should have given to him. We're holding on to it for ourselves.
So, Ms. Brand, I'm going to spin off your way. So Mr. DJ told me from his point of view, a man's point of view, tell me from a woman's point of view. Okay, so you've been scorned, you've been hurt, you gave that person your heart. You don't think they deserve a little bit of backlash through slander? Because you just want to warn everybody else about that individual. What you got?
I can say from personal experience that I wouldn't do that. Only because just because it didn't work in one situation, you could be the best of friends. And so even though, you know, it may have been a bad end, that's because it wasn't meant for the two people to be together, you know, in that particular, I guess, in a relationship or whatever, or friendship or whatever. So I know me personally, in the past I have, when I was younger and did my little things back then, but as I matured, I don't do that because everybody has something they're going through, and we all have to go through this life to get to the eternal end, so I just don't think I wouldn't do it, and I don't think that you should do.
Okay, all right, good deal. Good answers. Here we go. Another email question coming in. I'm going to start with you, Ms. Brandy, and then you, Mr. DJ. The question says, I am going through a divorce that has become very nasty. My soon-to-be ex-wife continues to spread lies about how I am with our children. My attorney has asked for information against her, but I don't want to destroy who my children view her to be. How do I move forward and make sure that I don't lose my children?
I think the person's doing the right thing by turning the other cheek. I think that you just have to just do stay the path, you know, do what God tells us to do, you know, do the right thing, because in the end it's going to be for our good. Turn against the wife is not going to benefit him or her, whichever way it's going, because then it's going to turn back on the other person. So the best way is to not give any information that could, you know, put the mom down or whatever. You don't want the kids seeing that anyway. They don't need to see the father or the mother downgrading either of them. So I would think the person would just, you know, stay on the right path and just keep believing in God and have faith that God is going to work it out.
Okay. Surviving slander, Mr. DJ, I'm going to repeat that question to you. It says, I am going through a divorce that has become very nasty. My soon-to-be ex-wife continues to spread lies about how I am with our children. My attorney has asked for information against her, but I don't want to destroy who my children view her to be. How do I move forward and make sure that I don't lose my children?
I would use that situation to the advantage of benefiting the both of us. If she's telling things that are lies, then I would present the truth, but my children would be out of it. They wouldn't even know what's going on, as far as they know that, you know, we're just not together no more. But there's a way to ask her, hey, why are you doing this? And talk as adults, and let adults and or attorneys handle certain things without bringing the children involved. But now the man side of me, Mr. Carr, if there's something that you know about your child's mother, at the end of the day, no matter how much we say we hate them or, you know, we're arguing with them or disagreeing, at the end of the day, you know, the way to a man's heart is through his children. And as much as you want to talk about that woman, you lay down with her, whether she was your wife or whomever. But what I'm saying is, the man in me would bear all of that on my back. I would still deal with the divorce, but I would do as much as I could to shield the children from that, unless it was something that basically puts my children in harm's way. You know, if she was something like a drug addict and just, you know, doing something heinous to my children, then I would shield it as much as I could. You know, as much as I could, but I still, even at that, I would respect my kids enough to not deal with it in front of them.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Star 5 for anybody else want to chime in on that one. Star 5. I mean, we'll let you chime in. You don't even have to say your name. That's really interesting, and I appreciate both of those answers, because that's a very tough situation when you're talking about surviving slander. It's one thing to be the aggressor. It's another thing, you have to have great humility to turn other cheeks, especially when it comes to something that you love, your children, and someone is portraying you horribly to them.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's bad enough, y'all. I don't know if y'all know this, and this is God's honest truth. It's bad enough that as a male, you walk in anybody's courtroom when it comes to children, you are guilty. If you think I'm lying, why then, women, do you tell your children, be careful than the girls? You know why? Because you know how a bitter woman can get, right?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
But ugly, and it gets nasty very quick. Because it's only ours when it comes to finances and mine and other times. My child.
Exactly.
And Mr. Carr, if I may add.
Come in now. Come on, help me out. Somebody. Call us. I'm giving you the floor because I don't want you to say he's biased. No, he's not. Because this is the deal when it comes to surviving slander. You know, people have the propensity to be slick with it, Ms. Brandy. And what I mean by that, he goes slander hidden and covered up as love. Check this out. Anybody know of, have you ever done, or have you ever heard? Have you ever seen? Well, I ain't going to say nothing about them. They'll find out for themselves. Now, is that not slander? It is. I'm going to tell you why. Because there's no hope when you say they'll see for themselves.
Right.
What if God viewed you the same way you viewed that other person who you had a child with? Uh-oh, it's about to get real. You know, I don't believe that God sits on the throne in heaven and says, just give them time. You're going to find out for yourself. I ain't going to say nothing bad about them, but they're going to show you who they really are. God don't do that because God hopes that we get it together. Come on, because we call ourselves Christian, meaning we Christ-like. So how is it that we can be Christ-like, yet we have vengeance and slander all in our heart? Because you had a problem or it didn't work out between you two. Now you want to throw innocent bystanders in it. In other words, you're going to take my side. Meaning children. Lord, y'all don't want to tell the truth tonight. Ain't nobody saying it's not five and candy.
No, sir, but Mr. DJ wanted to chime in again.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I just wanted to add, Mr. Carr, also with children, they're very impressionable. And in my experience, you can only lie to children but for so long because they will find out the truth. Even if they don't say anything to you, they will respect you for the most part. But you can lie to them while they're little only but for so long. And as they get older, they know who is really for them and who's not for them. Which parent has it together, and which parent doesn't have it together.
And Mr. So DJ, to be honest with you, neither one does.
Okay.
Neither parent does. I'm going to tell you why. Y'all can get mad. I'm cool with that. I got thick skin. Because if so, why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we here? You got it together in your eyes, just like they think they got it together in their eyes.
All right.
But where does the slander come in? Why you see, when you got to put somebody else down to look like the better person, that means you're not too good.
Yes, sir.
Let me slay that slowly so we can all gather that. If ever you got to put somebody down to become the better person, that means you wasn't too good in the first place. Y'all get it? You don't have to slander somebody. And you definitely don't have to have hope that shows, say, I'm going to let them show who they really are. Because that's not how God operates when we talk about surviving slander. Even in a case like this, that's hard-pressed. Okay? This individual here has to deal with slander, yet he needs to stand in truth. That's hard-pressed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thing is, let me ask the question. Get to the point to where them kids start disrespecting, I'm about to tell y'all the truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. You ever disrespect me because of the lie, I'm about to tell you behind the truth and go ahead and wash this lie out the way. I don't think y'all hear me. Because, see, you can't let a lie fester when disrespect starts building. Y'all know what I mean by that? I'm going to show you what I mean by that. How many people, come on, by show of hands, men or women, whoever has a child, they don't have to call them. they don't have to call them if they don't want to. Wow. But the Bible that I read says train up a child. So as long as they in my house up until the age of 18 or 20, they're going to do what I say do in my house, because my number one rule is, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So if you say they don't have to call them, you also tell them they don't have to pray to God, don't you?
Yes, sir.
So you just give kids a free range. No, all you're doing is that child is an extension of your emotions. The reason why they don't have to call them is because you don't want them to talk to them no way.
That's right.
Come on, Surviving Slander. But no, ain't nobody talking about this tonight, right? You know why nobody want to address it right now? Because the Word of God is before you, and you can't argue the Word of God. But when you're on your phone hollering at your homeboy talking about her, or hollering at your homegirl talking about him, you done open wide open. Wide open, Miss Candy.
Yes, sir.
But ain't nobody talking, huh?
Nope.
Yeah. That's mighty funny, Miss Brandy. But see, we'll disagree when they get off the phone. But here's the platform. Go ahead. It's not no argument. It's healthy discussion, because I'm going to take it to the Word. What you going to take me to? Oh, okay. See? Silence is good. All the time.
Yes, sir.
Slander is not good in these instances when it involves kids. It's not good at all. But these are innocent people who somebody is using slander to poison their minds. Huh? Misery loves company, so I can't be the only one in my house that's miserable. I got to infect the children, too, to get them on my side of misery.
Yes, sir.
If it didn't work for DJ, okay, he didn't like a Corvette. He can't tell me a Corvette not good. I might love it. Miss Brandy just alluded to that. Just because the relationship didn't work with her and Mr. DJ, who said that, you know, old boy, where it wouldn't work for them? But why is DJ putting his mouth on her? That's not the truth, y'all?
It is.
Surviving slander. Surviving slander. Satan couldn't, he can't go to heaven. So he don't want nobody else to be with God. Nobody.
That's right.
Why he talked to you about you, and you believe that you're no good, and you believe that I can't be perfect, and you believe that I can't do God. So Satan don't even have to get other people to put you down. He gets you to put you down. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
If you think I'm lying, well, then why did God create a scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ? He wouldn't have to create that if you already knew that.
That's right.
That's real, Ms. Brandy? Ms. Bacon Brandy? That's real?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Misery loves company, so the very time we start slandering people, that's because we're miserable. And what brings about misery? Bitterness. So you can't be bitter or semi-bitter and in God, because you're about to do something. Huh? That's why the Bible says, you know, be sober, sober-minded. See, when we are angry, enraged, and bitter, we are enslaved by slander, because it's going to happen. Either you say it out loud or you thinking it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me get to this next email question, and then I'm going to take a caller. Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you.
All right.
Question is sin considered slander, and why?
I would say slander is considered sin. I don't know if that was the question, but I definitely would say slander is considered sin, because it's a lie. It's not
uh-huh.
the truth.
So
therefore,
uh-huh.
it's sin, and the lie is sin. So
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, Ms. Brandy, I'm going to get to you with that one. It says, is sin considered slander, and why?
I would say, yes, sin is considered slander, because when we sin, we are not being obedient to God. And so we're actually, in a sense, lying to the commandments or the things that he wants us to do in our life to live more Christ-like each and every day. So I would say yes.
That's good, yeah. Ms. Candy, what you got? What you got?
I'm going to say yes both ways because I understand why Mr. DJ flipped it and then why Ms. Brandy said the way that we are living out our life when we sin is slander because it testifies against what God has said is the truth. So I agree with both of them.
I would agree with both as well. But to answer the question, is sin considered slander? And explain why? Sin is slander. Anytime we sin, we are slandering something. Y'all remember the definition of slander? Doesn't it sever a relationship? Doesn't sin sever our relationship with God? Doesn't slander put down? Puts down, it pulls down? When we sin, sin is considered slander. Any sin is considered slander because we therefore know the word of God and we call the word of God a lie and choose to do the lie, live a lie. In other words, we choose to put the word of God down to pick up sin. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. Mr. DJ, if you have one hand wrapped around your back, tied behind your back, and you got gallons of water, with no handle, you can only pick up one. You got to put one down to pick the other one up.
That's true.
When we sin, we put the word of God down. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
We put it down to pick up our own desires.
True.
So we got to put something down. Slander doesn't mean that you verbally speak against it. Slander can mean that you spiritually live against it. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. Slander don't mean that you verbally put your mouth on somebody. Slander can mean that you spiritually live against the word of God.
That's right.
That's true.
Y'all got it? The Bible says, if you deny me, and people say, that's right. That's why we send out these emails and, you know, these chain letters, Mr. DJ. Share it to 20 people if you believe in God. See, we think that the hocus pocus is it. So we think that slander, Miss Candy, is nothing but a verbal command, a lie. In reality, slander is living the polar opposite of righteousness. Because what that means is I choose to do it my way because I put the word of God down. It's not my truth. The truth of the matter is I refuse to turn another cheek. The truth of the matter is I refuse to forgive somebody. We live like Rick Ross says. What Rick Ross says, you know, God forgive, I don't. And we have taken that on, slandering the word of God.
Mm.
Huh? The truth of the matter is when we don't pray for those who use us, we are slandering the word of God because we say, God, I can't do it. So we put God down. We put God down. How do we know we put God down? Because we use the word can't.
That's right.
Y'all got it? Good. All right. Let's get to that phone question, Ms. Candy. Who we got?
Good evening, caller.
Okay, question. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The question I have on my job, I know my name is being slandered and being talked about. How do I stay in God's will?
All right. Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you.
You stay in God's will by, one, try to ignore it. That's for one. Try to ignore it. Anytime you hear something negative, try to respond with something positive, and you should see great results. Don't stoop to their level because then it'll pull you along with them, but try to ignore it. If you can't ignore it, you know, respond. Stay on God's path. Don't let them pull you off. Respond with something positive and try to straighten it out. If it's being slandered, like I said again, use it to your advantage. That means you had everybody's attention and now it's time for you to straighten everything out.
All right. Ms. Brandy, help out right quick. What you got, Ms. Brandy?
I would say in the situation, just give unconditional love. Regardless of what's being said, they have to see the God in you. And when you walk in that walk and live a life of Christ, you got to stay on that path. And it's going to shine through regardless what someone's saying or slandering. The truth is going to shine through. So just don't fall for it. Don't put yourself down to that level.
Okay, quick question. Now, what if that person is a relative that you're working with and they slander in your name and you see them often? How do you handle that?
Ms. Brandy, I'm going to start with you.
If it's a relative,
I would
go to the relative and you know, ask what's going on. You know, why are you saying these things about me? And try to talk through it with that relative and understand where they're coming from and why are they coming at that angle. But like I said, you can't control what they do. You can only control what you do and how you respond to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. DJ, what you got?
I would do exactly what Ms. Brandy said. I would come to that relative in private, not public, and ask them what's going on, why they spread these things about me, and get to the bottom of it. And then I would first give them a chance to fix it and let them know if they don't fix it, you know, it will be fixed. You know, God will fix it. But I'm giving you the opportunity to fix it since you're the one that did it. You know, and show them where they're wrong or find out why they would think that, you know. And then if that relative doesn't fix it, then I will allow God to fix it.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Did that help you out?
Yes, it did.
All right. Thank you for calling in. So do we have anybody else, Ms. Candy, or was that it? That was it?
Yes, sir.
All righty. So, Mr. DJ, we thank you, as always. Ms. Brandy, we thank you for joining in on the hot seat, you know, as we answered the questions tonight. Y'all both did a phenomenal job. So I'm just going to close it out with this one last thing because I got a question and someone asked to further explain the scripture from last night, Luke chapter 13, 10 through 7. I'm going to read it real quickly. Luke chapter 13, 10 through 7, if y'all want to write that down. Luke 13, 10 through 17. It says, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. In other words, this is where woman, thou art loose comes from right there. Okay. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites. He's talking to him and his believers because he says, plural, you hypocrites. He didn't say hypocrite. Okay? Doesn't each of you, further goes that he's talking to his ruler and those who follow. Their ruler and those who follow. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. They wanted to further explain it. Let me sum it up in a nutshell, as we have done already. Can anybody, Ms. Kent, I'm going to go with you right quick. Would God ever ask anybody to do something that they can't do?
No, sir.
Mr. DJ. Would God ever ask anyone to do something that they can't do?
No, sir.
Miss Brandy, I know you're cooking, Miss Betty Crocker, but would God ask somebody to do something that they can't do?
No, sir.
Ain't that something? Y'all, look at the scripture. It says in 13:10, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching, and a woman, she was slumped over for 18 years, was bent over and could not straighten and could not straighten up at all. That's what you read, right? When Jesus saw her, he recognized her. He called her forward. Right?
Yes, sir.
Y'all, I had the same mindset. Unless this is what Revelation. God will absolutely tell you to do something that you can't do. Absolutely he would. Let me explain my stance. Because he says you can do all things through Christ. That means
correct.
You can't. You catch this? He will ask Mr. DJ, Miss Candy, Miss Brandy to do things they can't do. God will tell you to live and go through that and go through that and go through that because you can't do it. Because eventually you're going to have to come to somebody who can, meaning him.
That's right.
Let me slow that down. God will absolutely tell you to do something that you can't do, knowing the final result is that you're going to have to fall on your knees and get yourself right with him. Because if you can do it, you will become your own God.
That's right.
Oh, Lord. Why do you think the Bible says he didn't come for the whole, he came for the sick? Because the whole think they can do it on their own. Why do you think the Bible says it's easy for the rich? Why do you think the Bible says it's easy for the rich? Why do you think the Bible says it's easy for the rich man? It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. Oh, he meant exactly that. Because this fell on right after Miss Candy, Mr. DJ, Miss Brandy, right after that young ruler wouldn't go and sell all his possessions, surviving slander. God would absolutely, if you notice, he never touched her at first. Did y'all notice that? He called her. He called a woman forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free." Then he put his hands on her. Oh, my. Surviving slander. God has called you forward and told you. He didn't say, y'all want to hear something? You know how your Lord, Mr. DJ, I don't mean to preach, but I got to tell y'all the good news. You know how when you go somewhere and people know the emotional triggers to pull you, that's why you keep on coming back and pull. Okay, you know how, and we still spiritually slumped over like this woman was, naturally. Somebody tell you right now, next year you can time and do that you're going to have that business. You're going to be excited as all get out, Mr. DJ. Everything that you dream about going to happen next year. God ain't said next year. He said, woman, thou art loose right now.
Amen.
That's right.
That's when he just broke down. He had to get in her mind. He had to reverse how she saw herself. The lie she saw herself. Lord, y'all don't want to hear me.
Sure.
See, the very moment. You already loosed, but don't even know it. See, the moment you know God has set you free from whatever you're going through, those people who have been slandered, when you are set free and you know you've been set free, when you know you have been delivered from it, that's when you too will stand up straight. Because now you believe God and not the report. I do believe that when we talk about surviving slander, let me ask this question right quick. How many, I got a question for everybody. How many of us, by a show of hands, you don't have to, raising for me, but raising for God, he sees you. How many of us are still living off of old corrupt information about us? Come on, y'all. You know that old stuff people said you were? You still living off of that. Corrupt stuff. You know how we know this? Because you often say it. Boy, you almost pulled me back to my... See, in other words, see, those things that you forget, you don't keep in your memory bank. And you say, they almost pulled me back to my old ways, Candy. I thought you forgot about that old stuff.
Mm.
So somebody told you you was no good and you believed it. And we semi still live off of it. How I know this? Because when you do succeed in your eyesight, you go back to the people who talked about you. But if you have forgiven them, I'm never trying to confirm my validity of my stance through what you used to call me. That means you kept it in your memory bank. Uh-oh. Was that too much, Mr. DJ?
Got it.
Surviving slander. That means slander has stuck with you, and God had to call this woman forward. Y'all know about calling women. Let me tell you what men do. Come on, fellas. Anybody married out there, girlfriends? You know you ain't get her by holding her hand. You got her by telling her some stuff that she ain't know about herself. Girl, you look good. I don't even know how you look in jeans, but I bet you can wear them good. And she started to giggle. Huh? Somebody said, mm-hmm. Mrs. D-Day, just like you got your... Huh? Y'all, he started talking good to her. In other words, start to penetrate the mind. In other words, when it comes to slander, God has to get us, because we his bride, men and women, God has to get us to believe in what his truth says, not what the lie says. The lie says that, look at the lie, y'all. The devil will use some truth to tell a whole lie. The lie says, because we repeat the lie, Miss Brandy. The lie says, Miss Candy, we repeat it. Mr. DJ, we repeat that lie. The lie says that you're human. Look at the lie.
Mm.
That's partially the truth. But we live out sin because we say we're human and we believe the lie as opposed to God's truth. So we are slandering God because we believe that we're human, so we slumped over. We're bound to sin. Oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
Y'all got to catch this. As soon as we, like the woman, believe what God says about us. Because if I ask the question right now, I did a poll on this phone, how many people think they can go this day and sin no more? You know how many people going to say no? I mean, that's impossible? 99.9%. You know why? Because we believe the lie that the devil tells us as opposed to the truth that God says. Uh-oh. Y'all caught that?
Yes, sir.
We believe the lie that says, I'm human, I will sin, before we believe the truth that God says, you're human, but you ought to live perfect. You know why? Because we don't understand God, so we don't know what perfect is in God's eyesight.
True.
And we don't care to go research it. Because we always want to take a shortcut. Because when it comes to God, all we want to say is, I believe and I love him. We never want to spend time with him and really get involved with him. So, see, don't talk about people who say, well, they ain't never take the time to get to know me. I'm explaining this scripture, y'all. 10 through 17. They ain't take the time to get to know me. Oh, well, that's their fault. Well, God can say the same thing about you because, see, people that didn't take the time to get to know you, that means they ain't want to really get to know you. They just believe what somebody else said. See, you didn't take the time to get to know God, so you just believe what the enemy tell you about him. And not only about him, about yourself too.
Yes, sir.
Well, this woman didn't believe what Satan had to say. Because at that moment, at that moment she heard God, She says, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm.
The ruler was so mad, he called Jesus a liar.
Hmm.
He said, you can't do that. Huh? People get so mad with you, they call you a liar. Huh? You're doing such a good job, they call you a liar. Come on, y'all. You doing stuff that they can't do, so they say, boss, they're cheating. They're liar.
Yes, sir.
Right. So they got to put you down to make themselves look good. But God says, you hypocrites. Don't y'all do the very thing that I just did? Look at the analogy God used. God used the analogy. Y'all untie y'all ox. Huh? Did he not say that? That's what he said, right? Y'all go and untie y'all ox. Sabbath. Y'all follow me so far?
Yes, sir.
Y'all untie y'all donkeys, y'all give them water. So why can't I not give a human being in which I created something more than you give your animals? Y'all, that sounds a little bit like slavery to me, don't it? Because you see all these commercials on with the dogs and they care about the dogs, dogs licking people all up in the face. You know, they love dogs, but when it comes to a certain color or origin or a gender, we say they animals. Now, if that's not slander, what is? The problem is not the slanderer. It's the person who's being slandered if you are willing to believe the lies. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that has crippled your growth in God. Now, God has said that you're set free. Who did he say are free indeed, Miss Candy? What the Bible says?
I just blanked on that scripture, sir.
That's okay. Find it for me. We're going to get back to you. But God has already set you free. Just Google it. It says free indeed. I'm trying to help you out. They are free indeed. Who God has set free, they are free indeed, huh? When did God set you free, Mr. DJ? You were still free the day he got on the cross.
That's right.
You are set free from yourself. You are set free from being broke. You are set free from sin. You are set free from malicious vindictive acts. You are set free from slander. Some people say, how can you be set free from being broke? Because your finances are not green. Yours are heavenly based.
Amen.
I was set free from slander. The thing is, to walk around, Lord have mercy. God has called you. Lord has mercy. He called her. All this time you have been walking around crippled, slumped over, down in the dumps. And you're looking for an answer when God has given it to you already. The reason why you're looking for an answer and you need people to keep on pouring and encouraging you is because you don't believe God.
Mm-hmm.
So you need people to re-energize you. And you go through these motions for 18 plus years. But as soon as you believe God has already done it because he called you. And those who he choose, he got to touch. Because in other words, the Bible says when a man finds a wife, to choose a wife meaning I got to take her hand. I got to touch her.
Yes,
when she touched him, she was straightened up. When he touched her, she was straightened up. When God chooses you, he chose those who believe him and not the slander. Now, when you believe God put you here for a reason, you stop worrying about all these other things. You don't even address them no more because your focus is on the truth, never a lie.
Amen.
Y'all got it?
Yes,
and then you'll be stop walking around dejected and talking about I don't know what to do. You do. You're already healed. That woman was healed right now. It wasn't no year later. See, when people say it's going to be then, sometimes they're playing Russian roulette because they just hope God do it. They misspoke because they really don't know. Survive slander. It's all about you believing the truth versus the lie. Huh? Because the good thing about slander is when people do, So the question was, is it ever deserved? Of course slander is deserved. It is, because we do some different crazy things. But guess what? But guess what? God, the Bible says, love covers the multitude of sin. We just said sin is slander. It's deserved, because we do some horrendous stuff. We are the number one slanderer of God himself because of the way we live. So it's deserved, if you want to say we reap what we sow. It's deserved, but it's called unmerited favor.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got it? So we got to come to reality and say, hold on. I know why you called me, God. I believe why you called me. I not only know why you called me, but you touched me. And when you touch me, I'm healed. So I don't believe what people say. I thank you for the slander, because if it wasn't for the slander, people wouldn't believe in you. Think about it. See, a miracle is for those who don't already believe in God. I want y'all to know that. God don't perform miracles in heaven, because everything in heaven I already believe is going to happen. A miracle is for those who have natural sight that didn't believe the spiritual one. Y'all got me? Jesus never performed. God never said, I'm about to surprise Jesus with a miracle. Jesus can never be surprised, because he already knew he believed. The believer is never a miracle to the believer. It's to those who really don't. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the close of another call. We just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for the knowledge. Thank you for those who present it, as well as those of us who have absorbed it. Help something said that would be blessed and nourished and multiplied, Father, so that we can edify our souls and uplift your kingdom, Father. May we be able to go out and take this knowledge and spread your gospel, and let everybody know that God is the King, or simply put, God is. Thank you, and we ask for traveling grace and mercy for those of us that are on the road, and for you to bring us safely back to the appointed hour of us to get together again in your name. In your Son Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night, and I do hope that we continue to grow. Continue to grow in God. We can never get enough of God, because the thing is, heaven is going to be about God 24/7. So if that's the place where you choose to go and you see yourself going, we might as well get used to it. It can never get boring, y'all. It's just something we need to know. Okay, so don't do it because I'm just doing my, you know, my due diligence of, you know, If we're not growing, we're being stagnant.
Yes,
we should be growing from each and every message, and we should enjoy them. And not only should you enjoy and grow from them, you should be the messenger for a whole group of people. Now that you have ingested, now it's time for you to digest and let out. Okay? Y'all have a great night. Wednesday, we have Bible study. You know, Wednesday, Bible study Wednesday, and then the rest of the week follows. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.